Good morning, church. Isn't this just absolutely amazing? Although we've only been out of school for 1 week. I said to Pastor Joe, this already, eh? And he said, yeah, you know what? At Costco, they have snowsuits out already. So we're getting ready. Hey, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to be with you. And it certainly is an honor for me to share together. We're family, right? And we get to share together in God's Word. And dig deeper in that and do it together, so it's truly an honor for me. Hoping you had a great week. The weather is fantastic. It's like living in Florida. But snowsuit season is coming. A couple months ago, I guess it was in April, that my family and I went to the Washington area in Washington, D.C. And we spent a weekend there, a few days there, traveling around, seeing a few things. And one of the things, one of the highlights for me was going to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. It's close to the White House. We were able to get as close as we could to the White House with all the security and everything there. And it's just, it's like Ottawa. It's an incredible area. It's clean. And so much to see. So anyway, we went to the Holocaust Museum. It's a free museum. You're able to go in there and sort of wind your way through. It was packed. There was a lot of people there, and very eye-opening, and very it's just a lot to learn about history and what happened. And so we just had a great time. We spent 4 or 5 hours there, and we were able to see a lot of stuff. But of course, there's a lot of people, and you're winding your way through, and you're seeing as much as you can. When we got back, chatting with a few people, telling a few people what we did that weekend, and one person said, so, you know, how long were you there? And it must have taken quite a while. And I said, well, actually, we were a few hours going through the museum. And they said, really? They said, well, did you see it all? Yes, and we said, we saw the whole thing. And they're like, no, you're doing it all wrong. When you go to a place like that, you focus on certain areas and certain things and really take it all in and go deeper in those types of things. And that's what we're doing with this series. Pastor Mark opened a series a couple weeks ago called Momentum. And we're traveling through the Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes over the summer. And instead of doing the whole book over the summer, we're taking a few passages of Matthew 5 and we're going to be digging down in that. And so we're going to do what this person suggested in the museum and just take our time and walk through God's Word in Matthew 5. And so the one that we're talking about this morning is Matthew 5, verse 3. It says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What I've titled this morning is Less is More. So much of life is like that. Sometimes less is more in so many different areas. Pastor Mark, a couple of weeks ago, talked about sort of the theme passage as far as the definition of momentum. And I want to read that to you again this morning. Momentum is this. It's a strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow faster as time passes. It's a strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow faster as time passes. And that's what we want to do. His desire for this series was just that. That we, over the summer, would be able to, as a church, dig into God's Word and continue to build momentum. You know, God is doing some amazing things in this place. His hand is upon each of you. We're seeing some miracles, signs, and wonders. Even last Sunday, we had a water baptism moment. And there was one lady that was late, and traffic issues and car issues, that type of thing. And so I was able to water baptize her after the service. And I got thinking as we were doing that, it says in God's Word to repent and be baptized. And I can't wait for the day where people are getting saved and we're baptizing them right away. Isn't that a cool thing? It just reminded me of that, because God is going to continue to do great things. And we're building momentum this summer with a series that Pastor Mark has initiated in Matthew 5. So we're going to look at blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, that Matthew and who he was writing to, it was a Jewish culture steeped in Hebrew. And that was something that, like our culture, we're born, we're raised, we're ingrained in it. Like them, they were steeped in Hebrew tradition and Jewish culture. And their point of reference, what Matthew was getting at, was You know, we had Moses, Mount Sinai, and the Ten Commandments, and so we're able to receive those. They were given, and there's a lot of thou shalt, right? When it comes, thou shalt not do this, steal, kill, adultery, those types of things. There's a lot of things that you shouldn't do based on the Ten Commandments. And then Jesus is born, he's raised, and starts his ministry, and he comes with a different angle. It's the same message, but a different angle. And the message and the angle that Jesus presents when he is here, it's all about love. It's all about compassion. It's all about humility. Speaking of humility, that's what blessed are the poor in spirit means. It means to be humble. And we're going to dig into that today. So Jesus comes, and his message is one of kindness, humility, and love. And he teaches change. You see, as we accept Christ into our lives, as we journey with him, we can't help but be changed by God's power in our lives. If you're following God, if you want to be more like him, that means that there's going to be change happening in your life. It just happens that way. That's what Jesus is all about. And so Jesus presents the Beatitudes in a very positive way. It doesn't come across as negative. And our behavior in life, when we live by the Beatitudes, will ultimately lead to reward. Each Beatitude, there's a start, but there's also a finish. And the one that we're looking at today says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see, love becomes the motivation for the follower of Christ. Everything Jesus did was motivated by love. He came to this earth. God sent Jesus to this earth because he loved us. Jesus died while he was here because he loved us. And love needs to be the motivation of every follower of Christ. I want to give you a definition this morning of humility. Humility is this: it's a modest or low view of one's own importance. It doesn't mean that we look down on ourselves because we need to be humble. Oh, look at them, look at me, we're so humble. It's not that way at all. It's our importance in society. It's our importance in our Christian walk. It's our importance in the hierarchy of what God has called us to do, and recognizing where we are in life and in our walk with Jesus. So the first thing is this. You'll notice in your notes, there's four things that I want you to fill in as we journey along today. People who are humble give up the idea that God owes them. God doesn't owe us anything. He is God. He created us. He's given us everything. But sometimes we get the idea or the impression that God, you know, God, you owe me. I shared a story in the first service about, it's probably 8 or 9 years ago, when Esther and I, we were overseeing young adults here at Woodvale. And there was a person that would come in, and they were part of our active, they were active and part of our young adult ministry, and they always had a saying when they introduced themselves to someone, on whether it was a first night or whatever, just to get to know them. And it really would break the ice, but they would say, "Hey, you know what, I'm so-and-so, I'm really kind of a pretty big deal." And they'd leave it hanging there. And it was just like, whoa. Now, if they actually believed that, that would be a different story, wouldn't it? But they were saying it to break the ice or whatever. But if we lived our lives like that, like, "Hey, you know what, God, I'm a pretty big deal." That's just the opposite of what humility is. And God doesn't want us to live that way. You know, as God's creatures and creation, how he's created us, we have a duty to him. It's so easy in our culture to live a different way, to sort of forget that and slide into a belief or a system where, you know what, God, you really do owe me. You really do. You know, if you could do this or you could do that, we can tell God what to do and give him our Ten Commandments. You know, Jesus gave us, or God the Father gave us, through Moses, the Ten Commandments. But sometimes we have our own list of expectations. God, if you do this, if you do that, then everything will be good and we'll be okay. Well, it doesn't work that way. We certainly, some of those 10 things on our list could be that we accept we expect God to provide blessing for our family and our life and our situation. God, do you realize that I need you to bless my life? I need you to do that for me. Another level of expectation could be income. Hey, God, you know what? Like, it's just, it's non-negotiable, but I need six figures. Okay, God, I need you to provide that for me. You said you would, so I need that. Certain level of health, possibly. You know what, God? Sickness is for other people, but it's not for me. And our expectations and our demands sometimes can be a little over the top. And of course, we have these, we lay them out, and then if God doesn't meet those needs, our Ten Commandments, then we're disappointed, and we can't believe that God wouldn't do those things in our lives. And so God, like, woe is you if you don't meet that. See, pride is the opposite of humility. Colossians 3:12, be on the screen this morning. Colossians 3:12 says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness," here it is, "humility, gentleness, and patience." We're going to look at a bunch of different scriptures this morning. In each one, the Bible is full of scripture that talks about putting others first, lowering ourselves, the example of Jesus himself, humbling himself to come to earth so that we could have freedom in life. Pride is the opposite of humility. And Colossians is another clear example of what we need to, what the Bible says, to clothe ourselves, to put on ourselves, to have wrapped around us all the time. And there's a few things here with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But it's one of these important things for our lives. Do you see in your life, or do you see in other people's lives, how pride can have a root, and what that looks like, and what that feels like? It's almost like, I gave that person something, so they owe me something bigger and better. And sometimes we put that expectation on God. And pride always leads to disappointment and bitterness and those things in our life when it can take root. The opposite is possible. The opposite is possible where we're clothed in humility and where we say, God has given us everything. We now owe him. He doesn't owe us. The second thing is this. People who are humble are not afraid to ask. Think about that. People who are humble are not afraid to ask. Sometimes we can be so self-aware of who we are, what we have, and what we do that there's an aura about us that we don't need God. That we can live life without him. It's so self-aware of the things that we are and who we are that it's difficult to ask. Now, the person who is humble or poor in spirit is never afraid to ask of God. We need to have that relationship with him. Thomas Watson says this, "The poor are always begging. If I'm poor in spirit, I do want to communicate with God and beg of him to fill me to overflowing with his power and his love." 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic." Here's some more commands for us. And the word humility is there again. "Love one another, be compassionate and humble." The person who is humble, I believe, is a person who communicates with God regularly. The person who is humble, I believe, is a person who is all about prayer, is all about talking with God on a regular basis. Is that you? Do you feel that you're humble enough and are aware of enough of who you are and what God has done for you that you're in that position to pray with God, to God, and to be able to ask God for things? Or do you feel you have what it takes? I'm good. Everything's in control. See, I'm not going to come to God on unless I'm in dire straits. But that's just the opposite of what he wants of us. He wants us to be in relationship with him and be humble on a day-to-day basis. I believe that people who realize humility and have humility in their life have an active prayer life. Jesus told a story in Luke 18, and it's not on the screen. If you have your Bible, turn there. Now, Luke 18, starting at verse 9, I'll read it to you. See, Jesus used parables to tell stories. And most of the parables that he told had a huge contrast. And most of the stories, the parables that he told, were instruction of how we should live and what to look for and what to not be like. And this is a classic example of this with regard to humility. So it says here, Luke 18, verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. God help us that we don't look down on other people. He goes on to say this. Jesus said this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee in the New Testament was a religious person. They were one that thought they knew God's word, they knew how to act, they knew what to do, whatever, but they didn't have true relationship. They were very legalistic. They yet appeared to people to be the people that were close to God. And in so many ways, it was just the opposite of that. So there was a Pharisee and there was a tax collector. So here it is. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you. I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tithe of all I get. Now, if you look at that at face value, so he tithes, he gives regularity to the church, it means he attends the church, he prays, it says he fasts twice a week. And even in his own mind, he's like, he knows what he wants to be and what he doesn't want to be, but it's the attitude at which he presents it, isn't it? He looks at the other person, he looks down on the other person. Now, a tax collector, on the other hand, so we have the Pharisee. The tax collector was a person who you really didn't want to be around. Today's equivalent would be CRA. You know, there was an understanding in that culture that this was the Pharisee and he was what he was, but yet the tax collector was that other person that you really didn't. So he goes on. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You see the difference in approach? It's so simple and clear. One guy thought he had the world by the tail and could do it all and had it all and did it all because he was religious. He prayed, actually, and he gave to the church. Then there's this other guy who's the tax collector, and his total approach is all about humility. God, have mercy on me. He recognizes who he really is. Goes on to say in verse 14, Jesus says, I tell you that this man, which is the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I love parables. Parables highlight how we need to live and how we should live. And this is probably one of the clearest examples. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are humble. We need to live humble lives. Number three, people who are humble are in a position to receive. People who are humble in a position to receive from God. They're ready to take it in. I remember when we were a couple months out from having our first child. We lived in Parry Sound, and we were excited. We were getting ready, and then Esther, my wife, changed. There was this change. Like, I'd come home, and there was this flutter of movement and activity and cleaning and putting stuff away, and just the house was different. And I was like, what's going on? Well, I didn't really realize then, but there's a term for that. When you're pregnant and you're expecting a child, it's called nesting. You're preparing. You're getting ready to bring home that child. You're getting everything in place. We need to be that way as well. People who are humble are positioned to receive. We were ready to receive our first child. We're getting that way. And so there's things to do and prepare. We too in our spiritual lives need to prepare ourselves for that. We need to live lives that we are in a position to receive. James 4:10 says this, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. People who feel that they have something to offer God are always coming to Him with their hands full. See, if I had my hands full right now, and this is just hypothetical, okay? But say some of you had pockets full of gold or $100 bills or whatever. Let's use today's technology and terminology. $100 bills, $50, $100 bills. And my hands were full of other things, and yet you wanted to give that to me. I wouldn't be able to receive it, right? Like, you could put it on top of the pile, but it would fall off. And that's not good, because $100 bills are better than, like, rocks in your hand or whatever, right? So whatever it is in your hand that is preventing you from receiving, that gets in the way. And likewise, in our lives, what is in the way that's preventing us from receiving from God? Is it pride? Does it have to do with our career? Is there things that in our lives that's preventing us from receiving everything that He has for us? Maybe it's time management. Maybe it's just too busy, too much time spent doing other things that prevents us from being ready or being in a position to receive. You see, I can't receive that money that you have in your pocket that you want to bless with if my hands are full already. We need to prepare our spirit and our hearts and have our hands ready and our hearts ready to receive. There's an older hymn that's titled Rock of Ages. And there's, maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but there's a line in there that says this, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. You see, if we have other things in our lives that preoccupy us, that are taking our time, that's distracting us, we can't focus on God, and we're not going to be able to be prepared to receive what He has for us. You can't wrap your hands around the cross when your hands are full. We come to God empty-handed, so to speak. We can go to Him and be able to receive from Him all that He has for us. When we know that we have nothing to offer God, when we recognize that, when we know we have nothing to offer God, then we're in a position to receive from Him. We understand who we are. That's why God's blessing rests on people who are humble. And even in this scripture, Matthew 5, verse 3, it says, those that are humble, those that are poor in spirit, there's something waiting for them. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Number four, people who are humble make it all about Jesus. When we're humble, it's all about Him. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Galatians 6:4, just write this down in your notes. "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, it's all about him. And when we humble ourselves, we're preparing ourselves, and we're letting others know that it is all about him. See, the more that we see in ourselves and about ourselves, the more that we feel we can do, the less that we see that Jesus does, the less we will see Jesus. This morning was just incredible worship. Once again, we're blessed in this place to have an incredible worship team led by Pastor Brad. And we had an incredible moment this morning where we were able to focus on Jesus. When you're looking at him and focusing on him and using words to express your love for him, we become smaller and smaller, so to speak, because the focus is not on us, it's on him. And that's the way that it needs to be. The more that we see in ourselves, the less it becomes about Christ. The more we see about Christ, the less it becomes about us. Less is more when it comes to this scripture. When we worship, we need to set our minds to him, our hearts turn to him, and everything about Jesus Christ. Here's the difference between a hypocrite and someone who's a genuine child of God. Someone between a wannabe Christian and someone who truly is a Christian. People who are far from God make it about themselves. And people who are close to God and who live near to God make it about Jesus. You'll see that all the time. You know people that it's all about them. They're a pretty big deal, right? You know it, you see it, you smell it, you can just taste it. You know when you're around someone that it's all about them. And in life, and when we apply scripture to our lives, we understand that we need to take on a position of humility. My youngest son this past spring, I guess it was, for 6 weeks, played football. And it's quite a sport. Now, I'm a hockey guy, okay? Like, I like hockey. Love hockey. I'm waiting for the Sens to win the cup or trade Carlson, whatever. I'll get over it. But I'm a hockey guy, but I learned so much about football. One of the things I think I learned about football, a quick observation, is that to play hockey, you need to be extremely fit, right? Football, well, not so much. Or in certain positions, let's say, not so much, right? There's someone for everyone. And what happens on the football field or on a football team is everyone has a role, just like the kingdom of God. We all have a role. But when one person thinks their role is bigger than the other or more important than the other, that's when we run into difficulty. And sometimes, you know, like, I guess if there's one position on a football team that sort of gets a little more accolade than the other is probably quarterback, right? But if that quarterback has an attitude of humility, then it changes everything. There's an understanding of who made him, who created him, who gifted him, who allows him to play. And there's an understanding of the role of other people too, because if there was no offensive line, the quarterback wouldn't be able to do too much. It's kind of hard to play a team when you're one person, right? The same is true for us. We bring it to our lives and how we live. Maybe you're in business. Maybe your business is doing extremely well. And there's a temptation sometimes to feel that, you know what, I can weather the storm. I don't need to be humble. I don't need God. Maybe you're a musician and you're extremely talented in that way, or regardless of whatever you do, there needs to be an understanding that God needs to be at the center, at the core, and there needs to be humility in our lives. Think of the story of Isaiah. Isaiah understood who he was. And yet what he wrote in the Old Testament is so foundational for what we have today in the New when it comes to foreshadowing and pointing to Jesus and what he was going to do. Isaiah said at one point, he said, "I am a man of unclean lips." And then shortly thereafter, do you know what happened next? An angel of God took a coal from the altar, and which was a place of sacrifice, and placed it on his lips, basically saying, "You know what? You understand. I'm going to elevate you." And Isaiah goes on to write things that pointed to Jesus. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed." Isaiah was used because he understood who he was in Jesus. You see, poor in spirit means humility, plain and simple. It goes on to say that those that live that way, that act that way, that understand that they're that way, will inherit the kingdom of heaven. There's a reward for us, for each one of us, when we're humble. Humility is the realization that who we are, the giftings, the way that we're created, the blessings, it comes from God. To be poor in spirit means to be empty and ready to receive. To be poor in spirit means to have an openness and an inner peace that God provides so that he can do incredible work in our lives. If I could ask the worship team to come forward at this time, Pastor Brad. See, it's pride, which is the opposite of humility, that brings trouble in our lives and in our situations. That's what messes us up. When we feel that we can do it on our own, when we feel that it doesn't matter, we need more of God in our lives. Would you agree with that? We need more of God in our lives. But in order to get more of God in our lives, we need less of us. That's the equation. That's the simplicity of it. And we can trip ourselves up so easily and so often when we get in the way. I'm reminded on a regular basis that we only have so many chances to do this right. Time moves on. And the sooner that we learn these lessons in life, the sooner that we're able to apply these scriptures, the sooner we're able to understand that Matthew 5, verse 3 is the first of the Beatitudes. There's no shock in my mind that the first Beatitude, the first of eight, speaks to humility. Because when we get that part of our lives straightened out and worked out, everything else flows. Everything else goes. And we're able to live a life of freedom. These are the inner qualities that Jesus wants in our lives. The Beatitudes, it's a package deal, and we're building momentum. We're going to be doing this over the summer. I'm excited for the end of the summer to see how we've changed as a church, because we're living this week in and week out. And the cool thing is we get to start with humility. We're able to start with ourselves and look at our lives and see where we're at as we move forward. As a church, we need to walk in humility and brokenness. As a church, we need to walk in humility and brokenness. As individuals, we need to do the same. God will do some amazing things with us. Just as Pastor Brad comes, we're going to sing a song. He's going to lead us in a song. And it's one we sang this morning, but it's so powerful. And, you know, we probably could have just sang the song this morning, Pastor Brad, and we could have gone home because it's so pointed. It's so good. But before he does that, one last scripture, John 3:30. As we sing this, think about this, okay? This is God's word. I must decrease so he can increase. That's the bottom line. When we do that, God's able to do so much more in and through us. So why don't you stand this morning? Lift your hands, lift your voice, raise your head. Talk to God as we sing this song and allow him to speak to you as you speak to him, Pastor Brad. Things this morning that I'd like to challenge you with before we leave here. The first is this. Quite possibly you're sitting here this morning and this is your first introduction to Jesus, your first exposure. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's been a journey for you and you're at that point this morning where you say, I want Jesus, I need him to live within my life. I don't want to live like the Pharisee. I don't want to go through the motions. I want to be like that tax collector who understood what relationship was with Jesus. And this morning I want to offer that relationship to you. Maybe you're here and you say, I just need that. I want humility in my life. I want relationship. I want love. I want that peace that He provides. And if that's you this morning, simply putting up your hand and saying, pray for me. So if that's you, just slip up your hand right now. I want Jesus in my life. I want to accept Him in my life. I want Him to be a part of my life. Father, you see the hands that were raised this morning indicating that they want and need relationship with you. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that self-awareness. We thank you for your word being applied to their life and their situation and understanding where these individuals are saying, God, I need you. I want forgiveness. I want you to live in my life. I want you to be first. And just as, Father, you humbled yourself, sent your Son to earth, these individuals now too want to humble themselves and put you first in all situations. So God, we pray for forgiveness. Lord, as people repent and turn from the ways that they were living and now enter in this incredible journey, this faith journey focused on you, with you at the center of it, Lord, we rejoice this morning for those that are saying this prayer and doing just that. So, Father, we love you so much. For those of you that prayed that this morning and put up your hand, we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to give you a Bible. We'd love to give you a book that you can keep reading to learn more about Jesus. And you can get that at the follow wall. If you go straight at the back and through those doors, you'll see the follow, connect, and serve. Just head to the follow wall and someone there will meet you and give you these things. So it'd just be an honor for us to do that for you and journey with you. For everyone else, as we close this morning, I want to offer you an opportunity to step out, to come forward, to say, I'm serious about this whole poor in spirit thing. I'm serious about being humble. Jesus, you were the example for me, and so, God, I want to do that. And so, as Pastor Brad continues to sing, and we want to offer you an opportunity to come forward and allow God to do some special stuff in your life. And here's the posture that I'd encourage you to take. Is an attitude of open, empty hands to receive what He has for us this morning. So, Father, even as we close now, Lord, I pray a special blessing on each one. And, Lord, as people come to the front here to offer themselves, to humble themselves, to open their hearts to more of you, God, I pray that you would just fill to overflowing with your power and your presence, Lord, that this would be a church that would be known for its humility, God, that as individuals would be known for our humility. And God, that doesn't come naturally because, of course, pride always wants to slip in there. And God, I can speak as one who can clearly say and transparently say that I haven't mastered this either. But God, I want more of you in my life, and I do want to present humility, and I want to be more like you, Jesus. So God, as we end our time together, we love you. Give us a great week in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So come forward.